This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct, the playoff edition, as we'll give you a big in-depth preview with our guy EJ Raddick from the NHL Network. How are you, buddy?
I'm very good, very good. Let's get it going here with the playoffs.
Yeah, this is the playoffs. EJ's got very limited time, so we can't waste
his time. Oh, that's not true. We have plenty of time for you.
But all right, why don't we just jump into the series that begins tonight. We've got the Hurricanes and the Bruins. That's a pretty good matchup, obviously, starting in Carolina, as they've got the home ice advantage in this one. I'll let you get started on what you think about this.
Well, I mean, first things first, Rod Brindamore says Antti Raanta will start in goal tonight, so we know that. We'll see where it goes from there. In the season series, the Hurricanes rolled the Bruins 3-0 and outscored them 16-1. So you would say by that, well, this could be a quick series, but I would say that, you know, when I went back and I didn't really look, but I just have from memory, you know, those games, especially the last two, there were two blowouts that the Hurricanes administered to the Bruins, and both times were kind of good spots for the Hurricanes and not great spots for the Bruins, and the Hurricanes took advantage. So I would expect that it will be closer. I think the Bruins are playing a little bit better right now. They've made some changes to their group since then. And we'll see how the young goaltenders play for the Bruins. I mean, I think goaltending is going to be really interesting in this series because Freddie Anderson is the really experienced guy, and he's out of the mix. The Bruins have Swayman and Ullmark, who really haven't experienced the postseason. Ullmark jumped in to finish a game last year that Rask had started against the Islanders. So I think that's a wild card on both sides. The Canes are, I think, the better team, you know, on paper, but not by such a margin.
Right.
That, be a really tight series. So this could be a little surprise. We'll see.
Yeah, I've got the Canes in six. I think I told you last week how high I am on Carolina. And even with the goaltending kind of in flux here, I just think they're the superior team. Boston, to me, and they played very well down the stretch, EJ, and I don't know how much you buy into that, but they certainly were playing well, healthier. Hall actually started to kind of warm up a little bit, which I think is a huge X factor for them, right? Because you know what Bergeron and Marchand can do, and DeBrusque hasn't been too bad, and they get stuff on the blue line from McAvoy, but I always felt that Boston was a little bit too top-heavy, so that could be a little easier for Carolina to defend, but if DeBrusque and Hall can play well, then it obviously makes it more difficult to defend. So I will give Boston, because they're so well coached and so much experience, a fighter's chance, but I'll still take Carolina in six.
And one other thing, Donnie, the Bruins and Canes have a little bit of playoff history over the last 5 years, and the Bruins were able to beat the Canes twice. And now the first time was in the Eastern Conference Final when the Bruins, I think, were the kind of more of a stronger Bruins group that we remember in the last several years, and then they were able to do it again a couple of years later. I believe it was in the bubble, and I believe Jaroslav Halak was in for some of those games. Rask, yep, if you remember, I think left and went home, and Carolina had like some leads in those games and failed to protect those leads. So, you know, this will be, you know, this is a little bit of a hill for Carolina to climb, because they, you know, Boston has beaten them twice, and when teams do that to you, you know, there's a psychological advantage, but we'll see if Carolina gets past them. I tend to agree with you. They're better. They should win, but we'll see.
Now, the Leafs and the Lightning. Now, the Leafs caught a break in a sense that they didn't have to play Boston again, right? But it's hard to see you catch a break when you got to take on the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. I'll start here. At one of these years, the Leafs got to get out of the first round, right? And here's the thing that concerns me about Tampa. Stamkos, phenomenal year. I can't believe it's the first time he scored 100 points, which is crazy. They've got a healthy Kucherov, and we all know the firepower they have. But I just wonder, little tiny pieces missing that I think could hurt the Lightning. I wanted to get your thoughts. You know, you lose Gord, you lose Gaudreau, you lose Coleman. Those were really important players to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I think the Leafs have really come together as a team. They play much better defensively than they have in years past. I'm just going to go with the law of averages. I'm going to take the Leafs in this one in six and end the Lightning Stanley Cup run in the first round.
Well, I got to tell you, I just can't take Jack Campbell over Vasilevskiy. I just can't do it. Now, it's not that he can't win. And Jack is, by all accounts, you know, hearing the interviews and watching, I watched the series they did on the Leafs last year on, I think it was Amazon with the behind the scenes. He's a really likable guy. You want him to do well. I'd be thrilled for him if he did well. But I just, when I look at it, I mean, I just have a hard time saying, okay, I'm going to pick a team, I'm going to pick against Vasilevskiy in a matchup with Campbell as the goaltenders, and Vasilevskiy's team is pretty much the same. Now, you're right, they've lost a couple of guys, and those are important players. But they're still the two-time defending champions, and I go back to what Butch Goring told me years ago. I asked him, which cup was the hardest for the Islanders to win? And he said, the first. And I said, why? And he said, because we didn't know we could do it quite at that point. Once we knew we could do it, we felt we could beat anybody. And I reading the book Ken Dryden wrote on Scotty Bowman.
Oh, yeah.
And Scotty goes through a bunch of these great teams over the years. And one of the things that he says in that book is that the teams that have won it, especially when you've won it more than once, said those teams have a little advantage. Doesn't always pay off, but he goes, they understand when they get into tight moments, they understand how to make it happen. And I can't see Toronto winning in four, so I would imagine we're going to have some tight moments. And we have those moments. I just trust Vasilevskiy, and I trust the Lightning a little bit more, and I trust John Cooper, quite frankly, a little bit more. So for me, as much as I agree with you, the Leafs are due to win a playoff series, and I think they have a really good team this year. It might be the best team they've had in the last couple of years because their defense is definitely better. The addition of Giordano is it's not only been a good addition of just him, but the fact that he has really helped Liljegren's game. It's twofold. So, you know, I think they defend better. I like their team better, but I just think they drew a bad card here, and I just don't, you know, I mean, I guess can't go against Vasilevskiy in a matchup with Campbell in this series. So that's it for me.
Very safe pick by EJ Raddick, but probably one that you'll feel really good about.
My yoga studio is a temple to flexibility, and so is my business. Thanks to my Amex Business Gold Card, it automatically flexes with my monthly spending, so I can get extra points on purchases like my Metro card and my new stereo system. Check it out. Let's stretch those bonds.
Earn 4x points on your top 2 eligible spending categories each month with an Amex Business Gold Card. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Built for business by American Express.
And by the way, just as a aside to what you said, what an amazing book Ken Dryden wrote about Scotty Bowman. I read it last year, and you get that amazing combination, right, of tremendous subject, a Hall of Famer that played with him. It also combines as a brilliant writer who might have wrote The Game, which might be the greatest hockey book of all time. So that combination just makes for an excellent read. He did a terrific job with that.
Yeah. He pulled a lot of good stuff out of Scotty. And, you know, Scotty is someone that, you know, from my experience, and obviously Ken has a much different experience with Scotty, but, like, you know, Scotty doesn't want to give all the secrets all the time. He likes to, tell you stories in the order he would want to tell them to you, as opposed to really answering your questions all the time. He's a very interesting guy, and he's had an unbelievable life and an unbelievable hockey experience. And so you're right. It was it's kind of fascinating to see, you know, what he had to say about the great, great, great teams in the history of this game.
I got to tell you, when you look at some great series, I think all these series are compelling. But to me, the Wild Blues might be the most interesting. These two teams are so evenly matched. I've got this one going 7, EJ. I'll get you started on who you like against the Wild and the Blues.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unfortunate. It's kind of similar for Toronto and Tampa. It's really unfortunate that teams that have played this well during the regular season that are this good have to collide in the first round of the playoffs. You watched the last two games of the regular season that St. Louis and Minnesota played, and they were both in St. Louis, and they were crazy games. They were physical. There was a lot of goals, you know, in both games. They both went to overtime, and St. Louis found a way to win both. St. Louis won all three games in the regular season this year against Minnesota. They had that kind of blowout win at the Winter Classic. It ended up 6-4, but, you know, they really opened that one up in the second period, and Kyrou had the big game. It's a toss-up. I think St. Louis has kind of had the better of Minnesota this year and in other years recently. So I'm leaning towards St. Louis. You know, if it becomes a game where there's a lot of goals, both teams can score. But St. Louis, I think they had 20-goal scores, 8 or 9. I mean, St. Louis, I noticed that early in the year. Their forward group 1 through 12 is just dynamic.
It is.
And the emergence of Robert Thomas on that line with Vucevic and Tarasenko. And remember, like 8-9 months ago, we were talking about Tarasenko wanting a trade, and I was worried about his shoulder after 3 shoulder surgeries. And I think a lot of teams would have had the same concern. And boy, he has come in and he's had a terrific year. I watched him against Nashville recently, and he just rolled off a check along the boards by Alex Carrier, just kind of threw him aside and went to the net and scored. And I was like, well, that shoulder seems fine. And he's playing terrific this year. And, you know, with St. Louis, you know, their defense is faster but not as big, so that's a little worry. Minnesota can get in on them. I think that would be the game plan for Minnesota, really work that D as best you can. And then Huso's had a great year, but, you know, he's never really done it in the postseason. So, you know, how's he going to play? It's interesting, too. There's 4 goalies in this series, and the guys that are on the bench for game one have both won a Stanley Cup. So,
yeah, right.
I think you wouldn't be crazy to think that maybe all 4 goalies will be a part of this at some point. But Minnesota's had a great year. Kaprizov is off the charts. I mean, yeah. He came in last year, won Rookie of the Year. And, you know, he signed the big contract. And, you know, that we've seen that movie before, Donnie, right, where a guy comes back the next year and it's a little bit of a struggle. But maybe it's because he was an older rookie. he had over 100, you know, quietly was one of those 8 guys that had over 100 points this year. He was a huge plus player. He was a huge guy at even strength points, too. I think he had the third most points at even strength this year, tied with Austin Matthews for third behind Gaudreau and McDavid. And, you know, just did everything. So it's a really good team. It's a deep team. Both these teams, boy, they're just really good, strong teams. So I agree. It should be a hell of a series. I give St. Louis a slight favor just because, like I said, they seem to have had – they've been able to find ways to beat Minnesota both this year and in recent years. So I'll go with the Blues, but – boy, that's a toss-up.
Yeah, I've got the Blues in 7 as well. I just think some of the experience and how well-rounded they are. But Kaprizov has been great, 40 goals, 100 points, and this could be his coming-out party. I don't know how many people around the nation really pay that much attention to the Wild, but if this series turns out to be a classic like I think it would, I think people are going to really be exposed to the singular talent that he is. And finish up the series that begin tonight, Oilers and the Kings.
Donnie, let me just interrupt. Just one thing with Minnesota, one other thing. It's a really important year for Minnesota, too, and I don't know how far that goes in their room, is that because of the dead money situation they're going to have moving forward with the Parisi and Suter buyouts over the next 3 years, where they're going to be limited cap-wise. I mean, this is really an important run for the Minnesota Wild because, you know, they've been able to add some pieces that next year they might not be able to add. So that's another little thing to keep in mind for Minnesota this year as they start their hopefully long playoff run from their standpoint.
Now, this is just a gut feeling for me. Oilers and the Kings, respect both teams for sure. But my whole feeling on Edmonton all year is if they could get the goaltending, I think they can pretty much play with most of the teams in this league. The question is, will they get the goaltending? Now, Smith has been good down the stretch, so I think that will be the difference in this series. So I like Edmonton. I think they've got more firepower. But if their goaltending goes south again, they have no shot. So I'm just going to roll with the goaltending being solid. And I think Edmonton will beat the Kings. I actually have them winning in 5, just a gut, because I think they are the better team. But this can completely go the other way if their goaltending goes south.
Well, I tend to agree with you, right? I mean, and that's the case in a lot of series, right? The goaltending goes bad, you got problems. I mean, look at last year, the Penguins and the Islanders. I thought the Penguins were the better team, but the goaltending, to use your phrase, went south,
yeah.
And so did the Penguins, and the Islanders advanced. So I'll tell you what, Mike Smith hasn't been hot, Donnie. He's been, like, scorching.
I know.
I mean, I think he's won 9 in a row. And, again, this is off the top of my head, but I think he's won 9 in a row. I think his save percentage is around .950. So, I mean, that is just not sustainable. I mean, that's flat-out not sustainable for a 40-year, for any goalie. But for a 40-year goalie, it certainly isn't. So that makes you wonder. Interesting coaching matchup. The teacher and the student, Todd McClellan, in L.A., has done a great job this year. Coaching against Jay Woodcroft, who, you know, he worked with him on the staff under Mike Babcock in Detroit. I think Woodcroft was the video coach there. McClellan took him with him to San Jose. He took him with him to Edmonton. And, you know, eventually then, you know, Woodcroft got a chance in the minors in Edmonton and then was called up to replace Dave Tippett. McClellan went on to L.A. So, you know, that's an interesting matchup. Two guys who really know each other well. L.A. to me, you know, I mean, most people are going to look at this and say, okay, Edmonton is going to win. They just got too much firepower. And that would be a fair way to look at it. I would say this, that L.A. has been underappreciated and under, you know, really not respected very much all year long. And yet they find ways to win. They're fast, they're young, and they're really good through the middle. I mean, you need to match up with those horses in Edmonton. And when you've got Kopitar and you've got Deneau, who is a, you know, a Selke trophy worthy guy. There's two Selke guys right there. 1-2. If young Quentin Byfield, who seems to be playing better, can be a factor in this series somewhere along the line, and because he'll get, when he's on the ice, he'll get good matchups. You know, I think LA can make it a series. It'd be nice if Doughty was healthy. That would have been a big difference maker for them. But, you know, I think Edmonton's going to win. But I'll tell you what, I think we shouldn't overlook the Kings. Very good defensive structure. I watched them play Vancouver the other night, and you know, they ended up losing the game in overtime, and, you know, they were already clinched. They didn't need the game, but, like, they didn't give Vancouver a sniff in the first two periods. And, you know, Vancouver's got, you know, some good offensive players that can to make things happen, and they didn't get near the net. So I'll be curious to see this one play out. I say Edmonton has the advantage. And, you know, the other thing that hurts LA is their special teams have not been good all year long, and for some reason their penalty kill was very good in the season series against Edmonton this year, but on the whole, their special teams haven't been good. They're going to have to figure that out in this series, because when they have opportunities, they're going to have to take advantage on the power play, and they're certainly not going to be in a position to take a lot of penalties against Edmonton, and if you do, you've got to be able to kill them. And, you know, on the flip side too, John Quick has played well down the stretch. We're seeing a matchup, Donnie, of a we don't see this too often, a goalie matchup that happened 10 years ago. And, you know, where, you know, 10 years later, they're on, and one guy is on the same team, Quick, and Mike Smith was in Arizona when it was in the
right.
Western Conference Final, L.A. and Arizona. And so two old warriors going head-to-head. It should be, you know, that's a kind of, you know, a story within the, you know, a kind of sub-story to the series.
This episode is brought to you by Tinder. With spring and festival season on the way, now is a fantastic time to get on Tinder and find your twin flame. You know, someone you can match festival outfits with, a boo with similar music tastes, or maybe someone who can introduce you to something new. Just make sure to throw a few likes their way, or you'll never know. Explore all of the possibilities for yourself on Tinder. It starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today.
Now, the series that begin tomorrow, Rangers and the Penguins. I mean, I wouldn't read too much into the season series. Rangers won 3 of the 4, including 3 in a row, but one of those games Malkin didn't play, another game Crosby didn't play. I like the Rangers in the series. I like the matchup. The only thing that scares me just a bit is experience versus not a lot of experience, right? The Rangers don't have a ton of guys that have been there, done that. Pittsburgh has. Sidney Crosby admitted this could be their last kick at the can as presently constituted, so those factors make me believe that the Penguins will hang around. I like the Rangers to win the series, but I think it's going to still be a really tough, hard-fought best of 7.
Hey, listen, I think it comes down to the goaltending in this one, really. I mean, Shesterkin is clearly the better goaltender based on the numbers. Jari is out of the mix. You're leaning on Casey DeSmith. if for some reason Shesterkin, who has really, I don't think he has any playoff experience.
No, he was hurt in the bubble.
That's right, because Lundqvist played the first two, and then Georgiev, I guess, played the third game. But I would say that's the wild card a little bit. I mean, we have no reason to think that Shesterkin will wilt, in the heat of his first NHL playoff series. But that's what it comes down to for me. I mean, as long as Shesterkin plays the way he's been playing, that's pretty damn good. I think that's going to be a big problem for Pittsburgh because, DeSmith, has had his moments during his career as kind of the number two guy there, but I think it's a lot to ask him to really carry the load. And so, I think the Rangers are just deeper. They've been certainly, the Penguins have had their struggles over the last 6 weeks. I mean, when I talk of the Penguins in January and February, Donnie, I thought of them as a real serious cup contender the way they were playing. But I don't look at them that way right now.
No.
So, I think the Rangers have the advantage, but you nailed it. It's just, does this team that the bigger picture doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, if the boat starts rocking in this series, will these guys be able to calm the waters and keep things on track? I think they will, and Gerard Gallant is going to be a big part of that because he's been through this. So, we'll see where we end up, but I like the Rangers.
Yeah, DeSmith did have that big 52 save performance against Boston a couple of weeks ago, so he certainly can carry the water. But Shesterkin, if he plays anywhere as well as he played in the regular season, is going to be tough to beat. Panthers and Capitals. Listen, I the Panthers, they just give up way too many goals for me to think they can win the Cup. I mean, that's what's scary about them. They could score. Not a lot of 7-5 playoff games, but I do think they've got more than enough to take care of the Capitals. Goaltending's been shaky there. Maybe Ovechkin's not 100%. When healthy, the Capitals are a good team and certainly a well-coached team in Laviolette. I just think the Panthers are just too much to handle for this Washington team in the first round.
Too, and they won't be bothered by the size of the Capitals. They got a pretty big group too. It'd be nice if they can get Aaron Ekblad back in the lineup. I mean, that would be a big help for them, and maybe they can get through this first round and he can be back at some point, either in the first round or the second. But the only thing I'd say about the Capitals is if the goaltending is decent for the Capitals, if it's just good, I mean, they should be able to hang in the games because they've at times this year they've played very well, and Peter's a terrific coach. And they've got some guys who understand, what it takes. But I would say it's been the year of the cat, so to speak, the old Al Stewart song. So they've had a nice run, and I think that they will manage to get past Washington, and then we'll see who they get in round number two. But, they're a team. They've got to feel good about playing in any circumstance. They've had all these comebacks this year. I don't know if that's necessarily a formula for a success in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but they've been a great story this year. So it's going to be fun to watch them and see where they go. And they just play this kind of crazy, chaotic style, and that crowd in Florida is that barn is going to be sold out now, and it's going to be loud down there. And that's a team looking to win its first playoff series since 1996. It's the longest route. We talk about the Leafs all the time.
Yeah.
Panthers haven't won a playoff series since 1996 when they went to the finals. So I think they're going to get it this year, and then we'll see where they go from there.
The one seed in the West, Avalanche, begin on Tuesday against the Nashville Predators. Nashville ended up getting this matchup because of blowing a big lead in Arizona the final game of the regular season. Colorado's interesting because they ran away with this division, EJ, right? And Landeskog's been out for a while, but he should be ready for the playoffs. So maybe a lot of people didn't pay close attention to them the last month because they had things wrapped up so early, but this is still an incredibly good team. The question is, can they get over the first round yips? And I think if they can, the sky's the limit for this team. But Nashville, listen, goaltending's been really good. They've got a quality team with a lot of experience. I think the Avalanche will win this series. What says you?
Well, I think a lot comes down to the health of UC Saros, right? He got hurt in a game against Calgary last week. He didn't play the last two games of the season. And, there's a doubt of whether he's going to be able to go to start this series. So if he can't play, that leaves you with big save Dave Riddick and Connor Ingram. So
good luck.
Yeah. But, you know, it gets that team, right?
That said, I mean, the regular season is obviously much different. There was so much less at stake. But the team played last week, and Big Save Dave was able to win a shootout. And in fact, Nashville is 3-1 against Colorado this year in the regular season. Two of the games went to overtime or shootout, and they were able to win both of those. So Nashville is extremely well coached. They've got a great matchup of Josi and Makar, the two Norris Trophy guys this year for me in this series. Both are brilliant players. Nashville, John Hines has gotten a lot out of his stars this year. I mean, that was a big thing. Duchesne, Johansson, those guys have really stepped to the forefront. Forsberg, on paper, Colorado's a deeper, better team. But we're not on paper. And if Saros can play and he's healthy and he's good, Nashville's going to be in these games. Now, whether they can win, I pick Colorado.
Right.
But, Colorado, this is a Colorado team, even though it's made some changes to their group and they got a different goalie. They haven't got past the second round. This isn't a team that got to the final and lost and was heartbroken. They haven't got past the second round for whatever reason. And there's a number of things that went wrong for them, and maybe this is the year everything will go right. But I just think, and maybe it's good for them to have a real test in the first round, and if Saros plays, then it's a real challenge. I think Colorado will win, but, I don't think anybody should overlook Nashville because they're going to come to play, and John is an excellent coach, and they've done a lot this year. They're a strong physical team. They'll mix it up physically. And, I think there'll be a handful. And, one other thing, the funny thing, you're right, they end up in this series because they blew that 4-goal lead, in Arizona on the last day of the season and lost 5-4. But the funny thing is, the Coyotes in the last week of the season went into Minnesota and beat them, second of a back-to-back, a win in Dallas, down 3-0 in the third, and beat them in overtime. And then they go home the last game ever in Gila River Arena, and they are down 4-0 early. They rally and win that game in regulation. So that was kind of a crazy last week for the Coyotes. And they impacted the standings and the race in an interesting way. So we'll see how that helps or hurts these teams.
And the final series starts tomorrow, Flames and the Dallas Stars. I love this Flames team, 2 100-point scorers in Tkachuk. And Johnny Gaudreau's had a fabulous season. Markstrom has been just tremendous. I think this team is deep. I think this team is capable. It kind of just stinks, and I think they'll win this series. But, Dallas is Dallas, right? They're always a difficult out. And I don't think they're as good as the Calgary Flames, but I do think Dallas will steal a couple of games. But Dallas is always that team you just don't want to have to deal with, especially in the first round.
Well, they got, they really have a pretty good group of four defensemen, right? So they're, those guys can play. I mean, Haskin is terrific. He's one of my favorite defensemen in the league. Suter is a veteran. Lindell is a veteran player. Klingberg is a great offensive player. He can be a little dicey to watch play in his own zone sometimes, but he takes risks that other guys don't take, and sometimes those things pay off. So, they can defend. Ottinger, he was a high draft pick. I thought they should have gotten to him earlier this year. They took their time with him. They were waiting. And then the second half, when Olpe got hurt, they really leaned on him, and he played very well. They've been a one-line team all year, and they're going to have to get more from Ben and Sagan and Radulov and others in their group, Gerionov and players like that. The line they've counted on has been fantastic. I mean, Robertson, Pavelski, and dynamic. I mean, I don't know if they've been quite as good as Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk. I mean, those guys have been off the chart. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau, I mean, what an unbelievable season this guy's had. 90 even strength points, 12 better than Connor McDavid at that. Think about even strength points. I mean, to be 12 better than McDavid is pretty significant. He was a plus 64. I don't care if people like that stat or not. Nobody else was plus 64. And in fact, those three guys, that line, they were so good. They were the top three guys in that category. Lindholm was plus 61, Tkachuk plus 57. They seem to be well-rounded. They've got a good goaltender there in Markstrom. I wonder as things go along, that defense they have, it's sturdy. It may be underappreciated by me, But, you know, I wonder if anybody can get under those guys. But they're big, they're strong, that team. And Darryl's doing a great job. And boy, they just, you know, they play right to the end, Giudani. They're in great shape. And I think that's the thing that really has, you know, taken Johnny Gaudreau to another level. I don't know what he did in the offseason, but that guy has just been, he's taken things up a notch or two this year. So I think it's going to be really hard for Dallas over the course of seven games to deal with Calgary.
Yeah, so EJ, this was great. I know you got to run. You got some meetings. You can catch EJ 4 to 6 Eastern on the NHL Network throughout the entire length of the playoffs. And maybe I'll see you on the road, buddy.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I'm looking forward to your call. I guess you got a couple of the games, 2, 3, and 4. Pittsburgh and the Rangers should be a good series. I'll be tuning in. I love hearing
right, thanks.
You, Dave.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Now at Topgolf, you get half off golf Monday through Wednesday when you book in the app. It could be any Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Like this Monday, next Tuesday, and the following Wednesday. Or maybe this Wednesday, next Tuesday, and the Monday after that. Basically, any Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday is a good day, as long as you spend it at Topgolf. It's golf. It's half off. It's half off golf. Monday through Wednesday when you book in the app for a limited time only. So download the Topgolf app, book a bay, and come play around. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. Visit topgolf.com/halfoffgolf for details.
All right, that is the great, and I mean great, EJ Raddick giving us a solid 30 minutes preview in these series. That everything, or at least four of the series, begin tonight. The rest will begin tomorrow. And as you heard EJ say, I've got the call on 2, 3, and 4 for the Rangers-Penguins series. So I'll be hopping on a plane for the first time in 26 months on Friday, heading out to Pittsburgh. So I'm really looking forward to that. And just to kind of recap, I had to make my predictions for ESPN, so I'm sure you'll see this on the website or elsewhere. But in the East, I've got the Panthers winning in 5 over the Capitals, Leafs taking the Lightning down in 6, Hurricanes beating the Bruins in 6, and Rangers topping the Penguins in 6. And that was a really good point by EJ. The goaltending matchup is just so superior to the Rangers. But when you got Crosby, Malkin, Letang, so much experience. Gensel's had a tremendous 40-goal season. Rusto's always a guy that scores a lot of big goals for them. Dumoulin's been around for a while, too. So you got to respect their experience and also be a little bit concerned about the lack of experience from the Rangers. But I do think the goaltending kind of balances that out, and I think the Rangers will take them in 6 out west. I got the Avalanche beating the Predators in 5. Blues Wild going 7. Flames Stars with the Blues winning, by the way. Flames taking the Stars in 6, and the Oilers skating past the Kings in 5, and I have the Hurricanes winning the Stanley Cup with Sebastian Aho as the Conn Smythe winner, but that's a long way down the road. So we wanted to get the big major preview in. We'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll already have all the series underway by then. Everybody would have played a game, so we'll get a sense of where we're going here with the big game one. So we'll be back again on Wednesday, and then we'll dive back in with you on Twitter at that time at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. So I wanted to get EJ's predictions in and get his thoughts on the series. We did that. Back with you again on Wednesday. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.